Morning Show with Anna DeBlantis. On for another year of broadcast insolence, 2017. Hannah Stanley in for Anna today. Anna returns tomorrow. And we're just trying to get caught up in things that are happening over the last couple of weeks while we were off. And obviously Donald Trump has done some interesting things over the last couple of weeks. And one of them was he did meet with Rahm Emanuel, and then Rahm Emanuel did meet they were back on the kind of Twitter world together, and there was like I wasn't exactly sure what was going on there, but Chicago crime, and obviously is a big story, and at the end of the year, the beginning of this week, 2017, started all the crime, the final grim statistics from Chicago came out Sunday and Monday, and the president-elect tweeted about that, and then Rahm Emanuel's like, hey, because the president-elect's saying, hey, if you people in Chicago need help, call the federal government. I don't think he realizes he is the federal government, but but he said that. And now Chey Rimefest-Smith is with us, and Rimefest says that, you know, maybe we should call on the federal government in a way that now what I thought was interesting, because the mayor basically made the point like, well, if you want to do jobs programs, you want to do all the sort of stuff that we've been talking about for a long time here, then we can do, then the federal government should be helping. We asked for their help, and they haven't really been able to give the help because they don't have the money, and the Republican Congress won't do it. What would you like to see, Chey?
Well, the federal government is here, and the federal government has provided resources. The city has not taken the federal government up on that offer. So if we look at the fact that the Department of Justice is here and investigating the police department and the crime and all this stuff, you know, the mayor was resistant to that until he was accepting of that. Then if you look at the fact that HUD, the federal government, has given almost $500 million in assistance for people who are displaced, you know, when the projects were torn down, the federal government gave $500 million that's being sat on by the city while Illinois has the highest amount of African-American unemployment in the country. And it's going up. So 2015, it was like 8.8%. Now it's like 9% unemployment for African-Americans in Illinois, mainly in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Why hasn't the city come off the money from the federal government? So what we have in Chicago, it seems to be a political violence problem, an economic violence problem that creates a street violence problem. Or helps to not it doesn't create
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
helps
create
it. It helps to assist the fire to
it
burn.
It doesn't remedy.
It doesn't remedy it.
Well, and I don't know that necessarily federal assistance is going to remedy it. What we can do, I think, to your point, is there are things that if there were economic structures in place that gave opportunity or maybe even hope an opportunity to maybe that helps.
I'm tired of hope.
I know.
I'm done with that. Like, let's.
That was
not,
a 1980s yeah, concept.
Yeah, that was concept. A 2008 concept.
Yeah. Like, well, that was. Yeah, it was.
Let's
different.
Not deal with hope. Let's not deal with like any kind of vague language that is not like hardline solutions. Right.
Well,
the federal
this is the
government.
Era for that.
The federal government is a tiny piece of a solution. The city government, the federal government, but also keeping in mind that Chicago has a history of divestment from certain communities. When we look at Violence Row, you can take a pen and circle on a map the small pockets of Chicago where abnormal violence is happening. Mm-hmm. I was on CNN yesterday. What I don't like is that when Trump frames it, when CNN and MSNBC frame Chicago, they frame it like a city in chaos when the vast majority of Chicago works. So why aren't we taking what works in Chicago and applying it to these small pockets?
All right, well, let me jump to something here because, it, mm-hmm. again, broad strokes are the sorts of things that we
exactly.
talk about. So Donald Trump is saying, well, the federal government, they should allow stop and frisk in Chicago. Do you think there should be stop and frisk
it's
in Chicago?
It's unconstitutional. So it's not even...
I'm done with it.
Yeah.
Constitution.
How can this be a talking point when it's unconstitutional? And
look, really? Have you seen the last couple of weeks? But
yeah,
go ahead.
Right? Yeah, exactly right. But my thing is this. The police have been shot at a record amount of times in 2016, 31 to 35 times they can count police being shot at. You start stop and frisk and watch how that goes up. The people are kind of angry, traumatized, unemployed, don't know where they're going to live, don't know how they're going to eat. Crime starts taking place in these places. What happens when police start stopping them and frisking them for no reason? When we know that statistics show the vast majority of people who are stopped and frisked, nothing's found. They're not arrested. So what does that grow inside of you?
Well, Eddie Johnson, you know, made the point. It was an interesting, I thought it was an interesting story, and it sounded like it came from something he knew about, which was, you know, when you're stopping a guy who is walking his wife to the Jewel, mm-hmm. who's a Comcast employee, right, or an Xfinity employee, guy's mm-hmm. you know, just off the job, and he's got his stuff on, right, mm-hmm. he's got his little jacket on, you know, so that when he goes to people's houses, they know that he's the employee,
exactly,
right, and so you have a moment where there has to be some reality here, but the other side of this though. Ryan Feston, you know this because you experienced 2016 was a pivotal year, I think, in mm-hmm. your life's experience, right? Mm-hmm. Because you experienced what it was like to have a gun pulled on you and to sit there and you know, have to encounter what it would be like to be near death.
Yeah, but this is the problem with that, Ro, is I had an even worse experience when I tried to report the crime, right? Mm-hmm. So we know, on one hand, I got robbed. I had a gun put on me. He told me, this is the last day of your life or whatever. I got out of that. All he got was $3. When I went to the police station to report it, and they're like, yada, yada, whatever. You know, we're not making a report for this. I was robbed of my tax dollars. You know what I mean? And then the story became how the police kicked me out of the station, and I couldn't make a report. So we can't have a police state to remedy crime. We have to, you know, think about the guy who robbed me at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday and in a public place where everybody could see. So I want, this guy had on all black. He had on a uniform for robbery. He reported to work that day. So what if we had something where he was professional? I mean, he got $3. He wasn't that good at it.
Did we get the guy?
No. Okay. No. I mean, but they don't get people who murder people, let alone take your wallet.
All right. Well, and in part, but let's. But let's,
and I'm not
also
ragging on the police. I'm not.
But let's be fair about that, too.
Yeah, let's be fair to the police. The police are also not getting the assistance
Correct.
They need.
From the community.
From not no, 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 from
no,
the
that's
city.
That's true, though.
From the city.
Well, let's take it one.
Because my neighbor is a police. But like my neighbor is police. I ride motorcycles with police officers. The problem is when the mayor uses language like these thugs, the police, and the citizens, guess what? They're all the same. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, somebody's little cousin is the thug. The police officer is the neighbor or the uncle or the cousin that lives across the street. And I'm the guy in the community. We're all the same. When you use divisive language, people start building up walls who live right next to each other.
That is a very good point. But the issue of when police officers have to go out and do their jobs and a guy gets shot. And he's lying there dying, and they're asking, you know, who did it? And the dying guy doesn't want to cooperate. And then you go to the community.
The dying guy's like, I'm not saying a word.
Right, I know. I mean, you're dying. I mean, you hear dozens upon dozens of stories like that from police over the years. And then you go into the community, the canvas community, and they ask people, like, hey, I didn't see nothing. I didn't see mm-hmm. nothing. I don't want to see anything, right? Because mm-hmm. they're afraid for, you know, I understand it. Mm-hmm. But they're still not there. There is this culture, and there is a gang. Today, we just had the first conviction in the Hobos trial.
I didn't even know. I was just saying that to one of your producers, I didn't even know that gang existed, and I live on the South Side. It's so funny.
Well,
we
because
used to
it's
know,
a super. But it's a super gang. It's not really a gang.
A super gang.
It's the Hobos are a loose affiliation of guys who were bosses in other gangs
who
decided to get away because the kids are all running them now and they're the master criminals and they were the ones and they were going to do what they're going to do through like terrorism and within neighborhoods and also torturing their victims and things like that so that they would create this at least according to the federal government they got the first conviction today but it was almost didn't get one right because mm-hmm. they had one person who was not going to convict and then there was one person who only wanted to convict on a certain way mm-hmm. so finally the jury came back on it but when you stop and you think about you know where all of this is how do we get. And, you know, where is the federal government on this? I mean, it's.
But think about this. You're talking.
Because, you know, Donald Trump's talking about, like, National Guard.
But he's not. He said government intervention, federal government intervention, whatever that means. He's a. he seems to be so vague in what he's saying that I think we should make up what he's saying. And we should not pivot to National Guard. We should, as a citizen, say, well, yes, we do need intervention. What we need is X, Y, Z.
Well, all right, so let's put some meat on that bone. Would you like to see more federal law enforcement here to go after gang criminals as federal suspects as opposed to
county? I don't think the problem in Chicago is gangs. I think gangs has been the media narrative. I don't think gangs is what the issue is here. I think there are things that create gangs, and that's what we have to go out after.
Okay, so what now? And for over 100 years, the University of Chicago has been looking at this problem, and for over 100 years.
Think about this. Over 100 years, the University of Chicago has been located in an area infested with crime, and that's a research. They do $5 billion a year in research, and the area that they're living in, right a mile away from Barack Obama, is infested with crime. What are they doing? What have they done other than gentrify Hyde Park?
Well, they have done that.
And they've
been very helpful for Bronzeville because the gentrification has moved north.
Yes.
I guess it's good for property value. The question is this, though. All right, then what? I mean, If the idea here is, well, I don't want to put a word in your mouth. It's 2017. This is my new resolution. I will not put words in the mouths of guests. Tell me what we should
do then.
Stop
putting things in my mouth, Ro. I don't like it. As a black guy from the South Side, I don't like it.
Like him.
Don't put anything else in my mouth, bro.
All right. I know. I read that quote from that minister over the weekend, too. That was a little weird. Did you see that? The one that was supposed to be on Ellen DeGeneres, who is a singer.
Oh, yeah, and they went crazy.
Yeah, she's a singer. She's a gospel singer, but she's got her own ministry as well. And she was talking about how all gay people are going to die in 2017.
Oh,
and she was
very
specific from the pulpit about what her description of that was, including body parts and mouths and faces.
And she had like a hit song with Pharrell. And then it was just like, okay, we'll only use Pharrell now.
Right. It's Pharrell's got the, right. It's the song
from Hidden Figures.
Right. Hidden Figures. The title track.
Back to crime. back to real crime. To me, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I'm going to sound.
Oh, here
like
we
one.
Go. All right.
Here we go.
Right,
you ready? You ready?
Stop him. Go ahead.
Here we go.
All right.
Because you can circle where crime is on the map of Chicago, I believe that it looks as if it's by design. We know solutions for crime. We know solutions for good communities everywhere else in Chicago, but it's not being practiced in certain areas that have been divested from for decades. Now,
you just said divested from, so you have to define that.
Well, divested from is when you look at Inglewood, they for decades had nothing business-wise that was a tax base for that community. So now, but what they did have was 350 storefront churches and liquor stores and things that sucked from the community, but they didn't recently. It's like, we got a Whole Foods store and everybody's in the streets dancing because they got a damn Whole Foods store.
And Chipotle.
Jobs for everyone. You know, so.
It's a start, though.
No, it's not a start when Google has moved to Chicago and people should be trained for jobs of the future, not Chipotle. And Chipotle is in a little trouble of their own as far as
people can get on the train and people can go to work in other places.
So, brother, not when they don't have bus fare. It's that serious.
The point is, if you have a job, you'll have the bus fare.
If you got the job, well, you got to wait the 2 weeks to get your first check. And when you look at the 75-year deal we did with the parking meters, look, poor people are getting it the worst. When you look at where all the streetlight cameras are, the majority of them, South Side, where poor people are. All I'm saying is that it looks...
Rhyme Fest, hold on 1 second.
Looks a little funny.
Okay, hold on. I got to take a break. I have so many things to say. I'm going to know where to go here.
Mouth.
Oh, for God's sake! At Rhymefest, by the way, if you'd like to comment to him directly, like Donald Trump will. Have you been in a Twitter war with him yet?
No, I've invited him to Chicago. I'm a black guy. I really have nothing against Donald Trump. I think it's an opportunity actually for a fresh start.
Okay. Right now, Violetta Powdermedic is going to give you an opportunity for a slow start on the highways with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN TV. Your pick, maybe Chicago's Best.
We're talking about what an awful year 2016 was for the city of Chicago in terms of murders, but Rhymefest is here, and he's very optimistic about 2017.
You got to let me rap over one of those beats at some point.
Are you kidding? It would be an honor to have you do that.
like when you come back in from the next break, let the beat play, and I'll just freestyle over it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think you need to ask.
Yeah, okay. We'll do that in the next break.
Yeah. We got only a few minutes left here, but I want to ask you about could you get a beat for my man? Can I be whiter when asking him? WGN. This is right now. Right now, Wally Phillips was like, well, I don't know what they just did right there. From heaven. All right. So now, before we get to... if you have one solution, you want reinvestment, not divestment. Is that
like the $30 million Tiger Woods is putting into the South Shore golf course? Mm-hmm. The Obama Library is being built over there. You know, those things are going to create jobs. They're going to get people productive, and you're going to see crime being lowered in those areas.
But how quickly can we expect that?
Nothing happens quickly, and we have to stop that. We have to stop thinking we're going to stop crime overnight. Also, instead of hiring 1,000 new police, let's do 500 police, 500 detectives, because murders are not being solved.
You have to move. You can't hire detectives. You have to move detectives up within the system.
Well, let's move them up within whatever we have to do. Let's get more detectives. And we haven't heard that, because what it is if we have... They have this algorithm where they know it's about 2,500 people doing all the shooting. Mm-hmm. Well, if you know that, let's get them off the street.
Well, they go and they try and they won't leave the street. That's true. But that's true.
They won't leave the street.
They won't leave the street. They're like, okay, I'm not, they don't want, I mean, these are people you're talking, it's actually, about 2,500 in total, and they have about 1,200 of them, about half, that they're constantly out trying to contact, because they know that, especially in the algorithm changes, because if they're in contact with a certain person, that certain person ends up dead or shot or whatever it is, mm-hmm. then a new name pops on the list, like, well, that's somebody who's an associate of them, and they go and they look. And they go, hey, you know, this is going to happen. And the problem is, and you know this as well as anybody, let's just be honest about this part of it, too, which is that there are people who believe the streets are going to take care of the streets. Right. And that they don't believe in the police. They don't believe in the system. They believe the streets will take care of the streets.
Yeah, well, that's partly because you've had about $1 billion in police brutality lawsuits. Listen, I ran an aldermanic election in 2010, 2011. Yep. I lost against an ex-police officer, Willie Cochran, who's currently being indicted.
What happened to him?
Yeah. Currently being indicted. So let's not act like police in Chicago haven't beat up bartenders and been just as much involved in crime as people that they're trying to arrest. We've had a corruption problem in the city.
But that doesn't
mean we got to stop putting on one person or the other. All right. We all need to come together and stop doing crime.
Okay. All right. No, that'll agree. And on that note, I'm going to have you freestyle over something. And by the way, Rhymefest is about to go star in a movie. You're about to go start shooting a movie with Emilio Estevez and Alec Baldwin,
Baldwin and Taylor Schilling from Orange is the New Black.
Yep.
So it's not like Madea's Halloween. It's like a real movie.
By the way, I thought you were great.
It was small but mighty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a real film.
Give my man a beat, would you?
Throw that beat on your head. Oh, you like this one? Yeah. Rhymefest without a question. What the community need? More investment, not divestment. I got my man Rokan. Every time I'm on the show, you know he drops the bomb. I got my girl named Hannah. This is not Anna, but I still rock the mic from here to Cabana. Yo, I grab the mic and you know I start to rip it right. They couldn't make me weak if they filled it up with kryptonite. WGN, yes, we be in the places. Rhymefest, and I'm not skiing because it's no snow. But I got to go, and I love this show, and I really love Ro. Come on.
On that note, Judy Pilak is standing.
What happened? You were supposed to come in and rap.
I you know what? I got that thing. I got that thing.
It's a John Fox thing.
Yes. Yeah, so do I have 2 minutes left here before Judy, or just Judy here? All right, Judy's coming. That was awesome. That was, you know what? That's gonna be my new ringtone. Judy Pilak's got the news coming your way in 2 minutes.